Amen. Can you hear me? Good morning, church. God bless you all in Jesus' name. I'm here also with my wife, Pastor Fatmata Soloku Kende. I would like her to just come sit in front of me here. So I want to give God the glory for her life. She has been very supportive to me in ministry. And to the glory of God, we currently have a church that is on construction back home. So in Africa, we come from Sierra Leone. And Sierra Leone has been one of the, the longest serving missionary work done by the United Brethren in Christ. United Brethren in Christ have been in Sierra Leone over 100 years. And I am a beneficiary from the missions thing that Brother Fleming was talking about. I am a beneficiary. The whole mission board from United Brethren gave me a scholarship of 4 years. I did my undergrad in theological training. I came out as an evangelist director. I studied missions for 4 years in that theological seminary. So when I immigrated to the United States, I said I'm going to give back to the United Brethren what they sow in my life. So I'm grateful to be here. It's not by accident, me coming here. Reverend Greg Hellman has been my spiritual father. I've known him for a very long time, since 2006. So he said, man, there is a preaching appointment for you. You can come over. So he got me linked to Brother Mark and Brother Fleming, the assistant pastor here, Pastor Mark. And I've been in constant communication with them, and they've been great people. I appreciate them. So I want us to put our hands together for this great man, Brother Lauren. Brother Lauren, I'm sorry, I mentioned your name the wrong way. He's a great guy. He's a blessing to this church. And I'm happy to be here with you. I want us to pray. Father God, we give you the glory. We thank you, God, for bringing us together as a family. You said in the book of Psalm 133, you said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Father God, you said it is like a precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard unto the skirt of his garment. Father God, we give you the glory for that. We pray that your glory will continue to shine this morning in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I found out that since after COVID, there is a lot of mental degradation going on. So I decided to pursue my master's. Currently, I'm pursuing my master's in clinical mental health counseling in Newman University in Austin, Pennsylvania. So I'm here to bring the word of God to you. And we have a big idea, which is breaking the yoke by the anointing. I am so thrilled when I came this morning, I found out that the Sunday school is actually what I'm going to say. Everything that was printed on that document is just like a reflection of what I'm going to say to you guys. And I consider that as an inspiration, because inspiration is a direct communication from God. And when a prophetic statement is released, when it comes to fulfillment, that proves the inspiration of God. So I see that topic as an inspiration, because I was praying. I said, God, what message do you want me to bring to the people of Etherville? And God gave me this topic, that we have to break the yoke only by nothing else but by the anointing. I want to start my sermon with a funny story. A husband and wife, they were fighting over who should brew the coffee in the morning. Every day, they will argue. The wife will say, you have to brew the coffee. You are my husband. And the husband says, you know, you have the kitchen. You're supposed to brew the coffee. So they decided to go into the Word of God to find answers to their situation. And when they go into the Bible, they come across the word of the Bible book of Hebrews. And the woman said, that's it. You are the man that should be my coffee preparer from today. You see what the Bible says? It didn't say Hebrews. It said Hebrews. So you are going to brew my coffee now. So from that illustration, I just want us to know that from Jewish history unto this present day, the people of Israel have always been surrounded by enemies. One of their long-standing enemies were the Assyrians. If you were here during the Sunday school, you will hear what I'm going to say. So on one of their long-standing enemies, these Assyrians, they had a very powerful, terrifying military power. They have attacked Israel multiple times. Prior to another major attack, they have an army chief of staff who was called Rabshakeh. He was a very fearless commander to the stubborn king of Assyria called Sennacherib. King Sennacherib sent a warning message to King Hezekiah of Israel to either make peace or taste the bitterness of war. So in Isaiah 37, verse 31, that's the first scripture. When King Hezekiah heard of this threat, he tore his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of God. Another proactive step that King Hezekiah took was to send messengers to the prophet Isaiah about the situation. According to verse 6 and 7, Isaiah said to them, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land. I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. In 721 BC, the Assyrians launched a major attack against Samaria and captured the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel and carried many Israelites into captivity. So during the period in captivity, God wasn't silent at all. God gave a special message of deliverance to Isaiah. According to Isaiah 10, verse 27, this is the message that God gave to the prophet. He said, it shall come to pass in that day. Which day? The day of deliverance. Amen. He said, this burden will be taken away from your shoulder, and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. So from this message of deliverance to the children of Israel in captivity, I would like to talk on the topic, breaking the yoke by the anointing. Our key text, which the prophet Isaiah released, he released also another prophetic statement read excellently by our sister here in Isaiah 61. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. I believe the hostages who were in captivity, we are actually wondering how an anointing, just an anointing, we're going to liberate them. Even the natural mind may want to think whether the anointing was a special military strategy or a kind of ballistic missile. Sadly not. That is not what the anointing was for. But actually, the anointing is the powerful presence and divine manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God. The anointing is the extreme power of God that is released upon the believer to do extraordinary things. And those extraordinary things are miracles. A miracle is something that you can see, but it's very difficult to understand. Friends, Isaiah 37, verse 33 to 35 make us to understand that God Almighty also released a stark warning to the Assyrian king who commanded the attack. It says, "Thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege around it." Verse 34, "That way he came, by the same he shall return, and he shall not come into the city, says the Lord." Verse 35, "For I will defend the city." God is going to defend you in Jesus' name. He said he's going to defend the city to save it for his own sake, for his name's sake, and for his servant David's sake. Now, how did the deliverance from the Assyrian captivity unfolded? If you read verse 36 and 38, the Bible says, "Just one night, an angel of God killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. And in the morning, when the people woke up, they saw dead corpses all over the place. And the Assyrian king was forced to retreat to Nineveh. There are two of his sons. If you keep reading, you find out that he was assassinated by his own children. Two of his kids assassinate him. Friends, without the anointing of God, everything will be very annoying. Without the anointing of God, there is no awakening. But with the anointing of God, even your enemies shall be at peace with you. That is what the Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 7. The kingdom of Assyria is like the kingdom of Satan, whose yoke of bondage is very heavy and difficult to break loose from. You know, like if you have watched the animal kingdom, the wildlife, you will see how a giant python constricts its prey. And it's very hard for that prey to break loose from the constriction of a python. Friends, this morning, if you suspect you are under any threat of spiritual captivity, just as the children of Israel were, I have good news for you. Isaiah 49, verse 24, it says, "Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered?" Yes, the word of God says, but thus says the Lord in verse 25, it says, "Yes, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered." Our God is a God of deliverance. He will contend with those that contend with us. He is going to save our children from this evil domination. He will feed even our oppressors with their own flesh. And the Bible says they shall be drunken with their own blood like sweet wine. And everybody will know that we are serving a living God. Today, I decree in the name of God that you are free from any yoke of bondage, be it sickness, be it isolation, be it depression, whatever that is going on in your life. I pray in the name of Jesus, you are free from that. The Bible says, God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is still in the business of delivering his people. God hasn't changed, just as a Sunday school lesson says, God never changes. He is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. According to our key text in Isaiah 61, verse 1, the prophet Isaiah knew not that this particular prophetic statement, which he released, which says, "But the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound." Little did the prophet Isaiah knew that that particular scripture was not for him. But that particular scripture, Isaiah 61, was actually pointing forward to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So when Jesus Christ came into the scene of religious persuasion, he cited Isaiah 61, verse 1. during his visit in a local synagogue in his hometown, Nazareth. Can we read Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to 21? Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to 21. It says, on a particular Sabbath, during the reading of the law, Jesus stood up to read. He was handed the book of Isaiah. When he opened it, he found a place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." With this specific reference to verse 21, if you take a look at verse 21, Jesus Christ himself confirmed that that prophetic declaration that Isaiah released some years ago was actually about him. That's why Jesus Christ says in Matthew 11, verse 28, he says, "Come to me, all you that are labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn. Take my yoke upon yourself and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." You shall never find rest in any other place, only through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Jesus has given us the open invitation to come to him and find rest. By taking his yoke upon us and learning from him, things will gonna be easy, the burden will gonna be lighter, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Galatians 5 verse 1. The Apostle Paul warned the church in Galatia to stand firm in the liberty wherewith Christ has set them free, and that they should not be engaged again in any yoke of bondage. Friends, we're going to break the yoke by the anointing. And the yoke of bondage is an evil activity that is orchestrated by the kingdom of Satan to suppress you. It is up to you as a child of God to choose which yoke you want to remain under, whether the yoke of Jesus Christ or the yoke of Satan. There are many reasons why God Almighty releases his anointing upon us. And I have just four classic reasons. I will just air them out and we'll take a look at them. If you have a pen and a paper, you want to take jottings, no problem. Four reasons why God releases his anointing. Number one, according to our scripture reading, Isaiah 61 verse 1, it says, "For the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach." Number one, we are anointed to preach the good news to the poor, according to our key text, Isaiah 61. I asked myself, whilst I was preparing this message, why we are anointed to preach the gospel to the poor? Is it because they are the marginalized people within our community, or because they are people with low socioeconomic status? But the Bible says not that. That's not the reason. The poor that the Bible is referring to is like a beggar who sits on the sidewalks begging for bread. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 23 says, "The poor pleads for mercy." As a child of God, that should be our posture. We should always pray and ask God for mercy. If you look at Mark chapter 10 verse 47, you will see a classic reason of a poor man who was named after his disability. His name was Blind Bartimaeus. They were calling him Blind Bartimaeus. They identify him by his disability. And this man did not beg Jesus Christ for money, but he begged Jesus Christ for mercy. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." In verse 51, the Bible says, Jesus Christ asked him, "What can I do for you?" Not that Jesus Christ didn't know what Bartimaeus wanted, but Christ Jesus wants Bartimaeus to be specific of his need. Amen? And just Bartimaeus became specific and said, "Christ, that I may receive my sight." And everybody knows, according to the reading, that his poverty was rooted in his disability. And when Jesus Christ healed him, the Bible says in verse 49, Jesus Christ, first of all, stopped, because people were like stopping him as he was shouting, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't say, Jesus, son of David, please give me money. He didn't ask for money. He asked for mercy. We have an opportunity to ask God for mercy. And the Bible says he was able to attract divine attention. And Jesus Christ stopped and said, call him. This morning, God is calling you. And I decree in the name of Jesus that we will attract divine attention. The prayer that you have been praying, God says, he has heard your prayer. He has heard your prayer. You have attracted divine attention from God this morning. And the Bible says in verse 52, after Christ restored his sight, he did not stop there. He followed Jesus on the way. So that is one of a classic reason why the Bible says we are anointed to preach the good news to the poor. It's not the poverty that you lack material goods or possession, or you don't have anything in hand. That's not the poverty the Bible is talking about. But the poverty that the Bible is talking about is a spiritual poverty, that somebody that is ready to be receptive to the gospel. You are ready to bend the knee because you have a need. You bend the knee and ask God for mercy. God, please have mercy on me. And God is there to listen to you. Number two, classic reason why the anointing of God is released over our lives. We are anointed to heal the brokenhearted. You already know the story of a woman of Samaria who was among the marginalized population. She was heartbroken because she had endured four broken relationships. And the relationship she had when she had the encounter with Jesus Christ was not even legal. So people thought she was practicing polyandry. We all know what is polyandry. In some certain countries, polyandry is legal, it's acceptable. A woman can be married to 2-3 men. But it's strange in America. If you try that here, they consider that person to be what? A prostitute. So she was marginalized. And the Bible says at the cool of the day, when everyone had left the area, Jesus sat by this well, very tired and thirsty. He asked her for a drink. Her cultural norm and religious worldview forbade interaction between Jews and Samaritans. Due to the racial discrimination, she refused to give Jesus a drink. And Jesus said to her in John chapter 4, verse 10, if you know the gift of God and who it is who said to you, give me a drink, you will have asked him and he will have given you the living water. After their lengthy conversation, she perceived that Jesus Christ was a prophet. And because Jesus Christ revealed private things about her life. And verse 25, what happened? The Bible says she pleaded for the living water. And Christ promised to give her and said, if you give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here, I will never come to this place to draw water. That should be your position this morning. The Bible says if we are filled with pride, there will be no space. You should always have empty vessel to receive more from God. Make yourself open. And the Bible says the woman was very shocked after Christ revealed that her current relationship was not even legal. She left her water pot and ran into the city and became the first woman evangelist ever recorded in the Bible. Because Christ revealed private things about her. I want you to know, my fellow Christians, this morning, that God knows you more than how you know yourself. There is nothing hidden. The Bible says, where shall we flee from his presence? Even if you make your bed in the uttermost part of the ocean, God knows about it. You go up space, God knows about you. So you have to come to God this morning, make yourself available, and he's going to bless you. If you are brokenhearted this morning, you lost your son, you lost your daughter, or you bereaved, you feel that kind of emotional, you know, isolation. You feel you are alone. You are not alone. Jesus is with you. He will bring comfort. He will bring peace to you, like he brought to the woman of Samaria, who was, you know, was suffering from heartbrokenness. You know, I believe she was a victim of sexism. Men have disappointed her countless times. She was heartbroken. And the Bible says Jesus Christ offered her a living water, a water that will suit her, a water that will bring peace to her troubled soul. Our third point this morning, why God releases his anointing. We are anointed to proclaim liberty to the captives. According to Luke chapter 4, verse 18, chapter 18, verse 10 to 14, we know the story of the tax collector. Tax collectors were ostracized and hated during the time of Jesus Christ. They had no freedom of worship even in the temple. The Bible says one day a Pharisee and a tax collector met in the temple to pray. The Pharisee prayed about how good he was and tried to put down the tax collector. But the tax collector simply pleaded to God for mercy and acknowledged his sins. Jesus said in verse 14 that the tax collector went home justified and forgiven, which sent a clear message to all the tax collectors that they should keep their jobs and that they should enjoy freedom of worship. Nobody should ostracize you. Nobody should marginalize you. We don't care what people say about you in the community. All what is important, what God says about you, because God has the final say. People will kill you even when you are alive, but God has a final say for the tax collector. No wonder when Jesus Christ visited the notorious man, Stephen, right? He was a tax collector. When Jesus Christ visited him, people were grumbling. Oh, look at this man. Christ, you visited this man. Because they were ostracized. People segregate them. People don't even invite them to programs, to parties. So they were very surprised to see Jesus Christ having a party in the home of Zacchaeus. Amen. So I don't care what people say. God has a final say for you in Jesus' name. So the last point, why God releases his anointing to us, his children, we are anointed to open the prison. We have many prisoners in the United States. Have you ever checked lately the number of incarcerated people in prison? Is overwhelming. When you check the statistics, it's too much. And many people are spiritually incarcerated. Just like we have physically people that are incarceration, so also spiritually we have people that are incarcerated by the devil, Satan. You can see them physically, they are free, but spiritually they are prisoners to Lucifer. Lucifer is the jailer. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. If you read this particular scripture, you'll come to understand that Satan is a jailer. And there is one quality that Satan has. The Bible says he is not interested in opening the prison, the house of his prisoners. Let's see a story here in Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. The Bible says, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus passed through Samaria and entered a village. He came across some lepers who approached him, but keeping their distance due to their medical condition and laws of quarantine, which prohibited them not to mix with the general population. Is not that a prison sentence? Jesus Christ, the Bible says he was going through villages. He was moving out. I remember when I'm coming from Philadelphia, you hear the hustle and bustle of the bikers, everything, the honking of horns, everything. But whilst we are driving towards Idaville, we found out that the serenity, the coolness, the chillness of the area, we feel so relaxed. I even said to my wife, I want to come live around this area. My wife said, no, you can come. But I love the area. It's so quiet, peaceful and quiet. So that is the kind of situation that these lepers were. The Bible says they were in a remote part of the countryside in the villages. And they were prohibited because of their skin condition. They have this leprosy. According to the Jews' history, they should not mix with the general population. That is a form of prison sentence right there. So they were bound to stay in the remote countryside, abandoned, emotionally disconnected from their family and communities. They were left to die in isolation like a prisoner, spending 23 hours a day in a single cell. Can you imagine the psychological implications? You know, most people that are incarcerated, like those maximum security prisons, they are there, those that committed heinous crimes, they are there 23 hours a day, just 1 hour for recreation. They spend all the 23 hours by themselves. That alone is a psychological trauma. Not to mention about the skin disorder that is eating them like cankerworm. So the Bible says when they had an encounter with Jesus Christ, right away, they transformed themselves to choristers. The Bible says they lifted their voices in unison and they began to sing and chant, "Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They were singing like this. And the Bible says Jesus saw them. He said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." You know, the temple is in the capital, Jerusalem. So how can people who have been ostracized, marginalized, they are living in the villages, in the remote part of the city. Now, Christ is telling them to go to the city, to the temple, to go show themselves to the priest. That was a big breakthrough for them. And the Bible says, as they went, they were healed. Amen. That's the God we serve. That's the Jesus we serve. Jesus knows about every person's situation. He knows about our situation. He knows what we are going through. He knows the pains. He knows what we are feeling. Do you have somebody in prison? Or do you have something that is actually bothering you? God knows about it. He is ready to take care of that right now in the name of Jesus. And on the opposite, Satan intends to keep his prisoners in prison for life without the possibility of parole. Now, if you see Isaiah 14, verse 17, if you read that scripture, Isaiah 14, verse 17, who wants to read it, please? I've been calling the scriptures. This last one, I want you to read it. Somebody from the congregation, please just read Isaiah 14, verse 17. If you can read it from New King James Version or NIV, no problem. Yes. Isaiah, is that Isaiah? Yeah, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 17. Who wants to read it for us? Who made the world like a desert? Who is that person? If you read from the top part, from verse 12. Now start with verse 12. Let's see. That Lucifer is the jailer. Yes, start from verse 12. Okay, hold it there. If you read it from the New King James Version or the NIV, it tells you, the Bible calls him over there, Son of the Morning. Other version call him Lucifer. Now, if you read now the verse 17 that I was saying, what it says? So that is the quality of Satan. He is not interested in letting go his prisoners. He is not interested. So that's why when somebody is under the grip of the devil, he wants that individual to remain in prison for life. But that is the contrast to the God we serve, according to Isaiah 61. Christ says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." So that is the great contrast right there. That is the God we serve. He doesn't want anybody to remain in prison. He wants us to return to our families, to the general population, so that we can begin to experience integration again. Amen. So this morning, we are going to pray for release. Amen. We have a few prayer points. I have up to 9 prayer points, but we're not going to pray 9 prayer points. We're going to pray just 3 prayer points. And the rest of the prayer points, I will leave them with Brother John. You can get hold of that prayer point. These are prayer points that the Lord released in my spirit. You can get them and pray. If you're here, you're sick, you're not feeling well, because I heard through the prayer request that a lot of people are going through a lot of emotional trauma, but God is there. God is there in heaven. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says, "Who by his own self bare our sicknesses upon his own body on the cross, that we be dead to sin, will be made alive unto righteousness." He says, "By his stripes, we are healed." This morning, we're going to pray. I want you to stand on your feet in Jesus' name. Stand on your feet. We're going to pray this prayer point. I'm going to bring a little bit of the contemporary style of prayer. I want us to open our mouth wide, as the scripture says, and release this prayer. I don't know if the prayer point they are projected over there, but you're going to pray this prayer after me, and you just be audible and say something. Say, Father, I thank you that armies of darkness that have arrested any part of my life and destiny into captivity, lose your hold on me right now in Jesus' name. Just burst into prayer right now. I call on you to pray. Open your mouth and pray. Father, I thank you that the armies of darkness that have arrested any part of my life and destiny, that have arrested any part of my body, right now, loose your hold.